Love Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Documentary Podcast, Pulling Your Eyelids Open. I'm your host, Russell Price. I'm the publisher of BNM Magazine, and we give it to you straight talk, no chaser. On our newsmaker line, we have a wonderful, wonderful publicist, Cassandra. She'll be up in just a minute. But before we bring her up, we want to thank our sponsors, CarShield. CarShield, if your car is not under warranty, you need to get CarShield. CarShield, cars go further. The number is 1-800-630-1801 for all your car needs. Tori's Restaurant, Soul Food, Beyond Soul Food, 700 B Street Northwest, for all your soul food, pig feet, chitlins, breakfast all day. It's Tori's Restaurant, 202-667-0908. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Cassandra, you on the air with Be There Magazine Documentary Podcast. Tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are.
Well, good morning, good morning. Cassandra Williams, President CEO of WET PR in Beverly Hills, California. And for those that are not familiar, WET is an acronym for we write it, we edit, and then we tell it. So our PR firm is based not on fantasy, but on actual facts, as we help our clients to get exposed to whatever they're trying to do, whether it's a musician, an actor, corporate entities. I've had the privilege of being born and raised in Los Angeles, California, specifically South Central, and a graduate of USC. And so I've had a little bit of an array of experience in getting to know people, how they act, and how they should be able to express themselves in the public arena. I started off doing relocation for the Department of Housing and Urban Development. After that, I was a singer. I was the opening act for the legendary Joan Rivers. And ironically, she fired me. And as people would have the story told, I've been famous ever since.
Excellent, excellent. So you were an opening act for Joan Rivers.
Yes, sir. I did 30 minutes for about 6 years opening for her. And one particular night, our keyboard player didn't show. And I started working the audience, ad-libbing, doing just off-the-cuff comments. And everybody thought I was funny except Joan Rivers. So that night, she fired me. And I had so many contacts within the entertainment industry. I kept those contacts and developed my own public relations firm.
What makes your public relations firm different than your competition?
Well, number one, Mr. Price, we don't take everybody, and we don't advertise. 99.9% of our clients we have, not by recruiting them, but on referral. And we feel if you're happy, you're going to tell people about us. So we've learned over the past 25, almost 30 years, if you're calling our office, someone told you about us and the services you were satisfied with. So that makes us different.
Excellent, excellent. Tell us a little bit about some of your success stories. Who have you PR'd for? Some of your clients, some of your famous clients.
Well, the legendary late Paul Mooney. We had the privilege of handling his PR for over 12 years. We've also been working with the Basketball Wives of L.A. for about 8 years. We had the infamous Mr. Ronaldo Ray for quite some time before he passed. We have some musicians, Preston Glass, famous songwriter. We've had an array of individuals, filmmakers, throughout the industry over a period of time. We've had musical groups such as Troop in the 90s, a little bit of everything, a little bit of everybody.
Excellent. I want to ring the bell for you. That's a lot of awesome tell. What is up on the horizon for you now? Talk about this upcoming event that you're going to be having. It's going to be with the Grammys. Tell us about this and give us some details.
Well, we have several things going on. Originally, the Grammys were to be held in Los Angeles, originally January 31st. And 2 weeks before that was supposed to happen, the Academy decided to postpone the Grammys because of COVID restrictions. Well, that got moved to Las Vegas, Nevada. And Wet PR was designated to handle press, media, and also to be in contact with some of those nominees. So things changed historically when, for the first time in history, the Grammys were moved to Las Vegas. So on April 3rd, coming up, we've been blessed to be contracted with Gary Clark, John Dias, and Lenny Harris, individuals involved with doing a tribute for the infamous Doug Williams. And we'll be handling the press for that. We also will be doing an event in Las Vegas with UNLV, the college out there, on Grammy night. So it's been interesting making that transformation. However, we're very, very fortunate, blessed, and privileged to be handling the Grammys, period.
What about the event that's going to take place in the D.C. area? Tell us a little bit about that.
The exciting thing about that, you have corporate individuals coming together to not only acknowledge individuals within the DMV community, as it were, but you have professional people, you have athletes, you also have people that, hey, we want some good entertainment, some good food, some good wholesome association, and from what I understand, it's going to be fabulous.
So this is going to be on April the 3rd. What day is that going to be? Just the 3rd, right? Correct.
That's okay. That's going to be on that Sunday, April the 3rd, the night of the Grammys. And the exciting thing, Mr. Price, about this is you're going to see snippets of some famous people, and I'm only going to name drop. I'm not going to give everybody, but you're going to get a welcoming from Snoop personally, from Freda Payne, and from Otis Williams. So we're real excited about that.
Okay. When you say a snippet, that means there's going to be a video being made that's going to be broadcast at the location. Now, will the location be broadcast at the Grammys, or is that going to be separate?
That's going to be separate because they've already recorded their shout-out to acknowledge the event on April the 3rd. They physically, can't be there, So they wanted to give props to the event that is taking place.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. This is going to be a monumental aspect for the Washington metropolitan area, for the DMV. It's never been done where the Grammys have any association with the DMV. So this is going to be a totally opportunity for people to come and see it, or they can see it on TV. Is it going to be telecast or televised that night?
Now, that part, I'm not sure. Our company is handling the press and, you know, media. So production-wise, I'm not sure, Mr. Price.
Okay. How can our listeners get in touch with you if they want to use your services? What's the next step for them to get started with you?
I'm going to give you our office number as well as our email address. And to those listening in, if they want any aspect of their business to grow, we ask that you send us a one-sheeter to WETPRBevHills@gmail.com, or you can call our office at 310-858-5552. Whether you're an actor, singer, filmmaker, corporate entity, anything to enhance your business, we'll write it up, we'll edit, tell it, and then get you the right exposure, customized and catered to your specific needs. And that's WETPRBevHills@gmail.com. Our phone number is 310-858-5552. You can find us on Facebook, WET PR of Beverly Hills, and there's like three or four Cassandra Williams, but I'm the one sitting with Shaquille O'Neal. That's how you can differentiate me.
Where do you see yourself in a few years from now?
I hope sitting on the beach with my husband in Hawaii. It's about that time. It's about that time.
What has been your biggest learning from the projects you have encountered? What has you learned the most from what you do?
You know, Mr. Price, I have to honestly say, to expect the unexpected. Each of our clients have different personalities, have different needs, and to just stay confident on what we do and not try to change them and not trying to want it more than the client. If the client is serious about what they want to do, it's going to work for us. We can't go in trying to change people, their concepts, their values. That's what I've learned. It's not to want it more than the client.
Excellent. What three people have influenced you the most?
My mother. My mother was very low-key, very humble, very gracious lady. And to me, she was like, you don't have to throw yourself on anyone. People will respect you for what you are. And it took me a minute to get it, but my greatest influence was my mom.
Who else? Who? Give me two more people that really influenced you besides your mother.
Oh, okay, my mother, my 17-year-old granddaughter in being herself, Let's see, and the third person, the greatest influence, I'm going to have to say Jehovah God. He should have been first. Our Heavenly Father, that's been an influence that I should have said first. It hadn't been for the faith and doing what I'm supposed to do over all these years, I wouldn't be here today.
Do you have any advice for people that are trying to break through in the career that you have chosen?
Mr. Price, I have to say, for people to be realistic of their expectations. And hypothetically, just because everybody in your family says you can sing, that doesn't mean you can sing. Just because everybody in your family says, ooh, honey, you sure can act. Be realistic on your expectations.
That's absolutely correct, because people say you can do something, but you got to know for a fact you can do it. And don't go on what people say you can do. You have to do what you know you can do.
Exactly. Exactly.
How have you faced any setbacks in your chosen profession? What did you do when you had a setback? How did you overcome the setback?
You know what? There's been several setbacks, especially within the last 2 to 3 years with COVID, to actually wake up one day and realize that your business is in the hands of someone else or in the hands of the system of things is a wake-up call. To actually not be in business was a setback, because things go, you know, come and go, but to actually witness it, feel it, have your doors closed because of the system we're living in was a wake-up call. So to revive or resurrect that business was a definitely setback, and not knowing when the doors would be able to be open again. So mentally, emotionally, to get a hold of that feeling and know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and to remain positive, to remain a total mentality that you ain't running nothing, that's what we have to do. Once again, being realistic. So those setbacks will happen again. We ain't running nothing. So you have to be realistic.
If you had nothing scheduled for an entire day, what would you do with your time?
I would go fishing. I'm addicted to fishing. I would go find some rocks, nice ocean, get my pole, make a few bologna sandwiches, and I'd go fishing.
Wow, so you can fish. You do deep sea fishing, or you do, what kind of fishing do you do?
I do off the rocks, the pier. I don't, now this is crazy, but I don't deep sea fish because I can't swim. But I'm addicted to fishing.
Who misunderstand about you the most?
At times, I have the tendency to be very, very candid, and people misunderstand that as an aggression. Oh, she's trying to tell me what to do. But no, that's not me. I care, and I'm learning over the years that, people misunderstand that because I come off a little abrupt at times, but that is I've learned over the years, a lot of people, why is she talking to me like that? She can't talk to me like that. I don't mean any harm. I just sometimes go straight to the point.
Excellent. You have a wonderful husband. Tell us how you met your husband.
Ooh, how much time I got left.
This is all about you today. This is you are our special guest.
Oh, my God, you just...
Tell us how you
I was in the studio at A&M Records recording with Jeffrey Osborne doing some backup singing, and my car broke down. So I called a cab, and my husband was driving a cab at the time. What I didn't know was that he owned the company that he was driving for. So he picked me up, gave me a ride home, and on the way to my house, we were arguing about the fare. I was like, oh, no, this meter's off. Something's wrong with this meter. So anyway, he dropped me off, and he handed me his card because I had another event to go to that evening. So he said, if I'm available, I'll come back and pick you up. Well, of course, I called him, and he came back in the cab, and he took me to, if you're familiar with Marla Gibbs, Marla Gibbs had a club in L.A. and forming that night over at her place. So he was going to drop me off. And he said, see if you get somebody to give you a ride back home. I said, you need to come on in. And I didn't tell him that I was a singer or performing. And he came in, and I bought him a drink, and then I performed. And he gave me a ride back home. And he said, well, what are you going to do the rest of the evening? But anyway, to get to the good part, he came back that evening and picked me up in the longest lime green Cadillac I had ever seen in my life. And it had white in the inside. I've never seen a Cadillac that long. So we went out that night. He took me out to the peninsula, and then we started talking. And then 2 days later, he took me over to meet his parents. They were having a barbecue and playing cards. And, yeah, it was 2 days later. And his father set me down and gave me the third degree. His mother liked me right away, but daddy gave me the third degree. And 40 years later, we're still together.
Excellent, excellent, excellent love story. Excellent love story, an excellent couple. What is the best compliment you have ever gotten?
Wow. Oh, that I was a good person.
Excellent, 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 excellent. How would your parents describe you today, if they were alive, or they are alive? What would they say about you?
That out of all seven of the kids, I'm the second to the oldest. And my parents would say that I was hard-headed, rebellious, didn't do nothing I was told to do. And very innovative. I was always the liveliest out of all seven of the kids. My parents would say, what? Oh, do we have to go up to the school again? What? This girl is something else.
If you could go back and give your 18-year-old self a piece of advice, what would it be?
Don't leave home until you get some money.
That That is an excellent advice to tell an 18-year-old. Don't leave home until you get some money.
That's it. Don't leave home out there, you know, hungry, ain't got gas in the car, hosting. Stay home. Get some kind of foundation for you head on out there.
If you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Where would I like to live? Trying to think, where would I like to live? You know what? I'd like to live in the Bahamas.
Oh, wow.
I would like to live, yes.
That's awesome. That's awesome. If you could have a cup of coffee with any figure, who would that be? Who would you choose to have a cup of coffee with?
Michelle Obama. I'd like to sit down and talk to Michelle.
Yes, yeah, she's an excellent, excellent, excellent woman, and she has class, and she has it all. She checks all the boxes, and she's a wonderful, awesome black woman.
I've heard so many things about her, and I did read her book, and she just, you know, seems to be just regular, you know.
She is a regular person. She's down to earth. What was your favorite trip when you were, what was the favorite trip you have ever taken in your life?
Where did I go? You know, when we were handling relocation, I went to every major city in the United States. Never been out of the country. Wow, that's a good one. You know what? I'm going to say Manhattan. I'm going to say Manhattan.
Manhattan.
I'm going to say Manhattan.
Sure. Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What do you think the world would look like in 50 years?
Well, it's my personal expectation to live in paradisaic or paradise conditions. I believe what the Bible says, that it's going to happen. I believe that those that have fallen asleep in death will be resurrected. And I believe that according to the Bible, we're going to live in conditions where there's peace, no hunger, no homelessness, no violence, no crime. And that's what I'm looking forward to in the very near future, and everlasting life on the earth that God created for us initially. And that's what I believe.
What's your favorite color, and what does that say about you?
My favorite color is blue, and I like blue because it's trans, you know, queer. It's a calming effect, and I've always wanted to be, you know, kind of low-key. Didn't work for me because I'm a, you know, outgoing person. But I would love to have been that low-key, kind of quiet girl. And I love blue. I love the ocean. I love the sky. And it's very, very tranquil to me.
Excellent. What common myth about your profession, field, or your expertise? What's a common myth that people think about being a PR person?
People think that it's easy. People think it's easy, and it isn't, because you're dealing with people's personalities. When they see you on TV or radio or on the red carpet, or at these concerts or backstage with these celebrities, they, you know, they are caught up in the glitz and glamour. they don't know what it takes to get to that point. And if you take IST off of publicist, is what we are, you get the word public. And people truly don't understand being in the public is not easy. And then you're representing someone. You're representing their image. So the myth is, she's with so-and-so. Oh, look at that. Oh, they're backstage. Ooh, it's not all glitz and glamour.
That's absolutely correct. When people see you behind the scenes, or they see you backstage, or they see you taking a picture with certain celebrities, they think it's easy. But it's not easy.
Exactly.
It's hard. You
no, it is.
That craft. You have to be good at what you do. And nobody's going to trust
it.
You with their PR unless you're good at what you do. And like you say, some of the people you worked with, I mean, Paul Mooney, the great, wonderful Paul Mooney, I'm quite sure he saw greatness in you, because he would have not let you be his publicist. I mean, when you're talking about being a publisher for somebody like a Paul Mooney, to be able to work with Joan Rivers, to be able to work with Joan
Woo.
Rivers, the great Joan Rivers. I mean, she was not somebody easy to work with. I could tell by her outward personality. She was not easy. You know, you had to be somebody of talent and somebody that was really great to be able to work with Joan Rivers, you know. And so
Woo.
You had these contacts that was really, really, really good to have, but you had to be good to have them. You just couldn't get these contacts just to get them.
Oh,
you had
no.
to be good to get them. And that's what makes you so powerful.
And, you know,
go ahead.
Mr. Price, I want to share an experience that I had. Two things. When I first met Paul Mooney, he was at Carlos and Charlie's where I was performing. And after the show was over, he said he was with the infamous Johnny Cochran at the time. They were together. And he said, I need to talk to you. And he said, let me tell you something. He said, you can't sing. He said, you got a great personality, but you need to find you something else to do because you can't sing. I was crushed, devastated, almost called the police on myself. I said, how dare him? And a couple of days later, I found out there were some people that I knew that knew him, whatever, and he was going to be at the Comedy Store. So I went out there to the Comedy Store, and he was performing that night, and I said, do you remember me? He said, oh, yeah, I know who you are. You're the lady up there trying to sing. And I said, why would you say that? I've been opening for Joan Rivers. He said, you have a good personality and people like you, but you can't sing. And from that, that's how I met Paul Mooney. And up until the week before he died, he would always tell me, see, I told you, look at you doing PR. I told you. And I said, you know what, Paul? We would argue all the time because I still, Mr. Price, think I can sing. Paul never thought I could sing. The other experience I had while I was with him, we were at a major, major film premiere. It was Mike Epps was in the movie, Tommy Davidson, Snoop Dogg, Jamie Foxx. It was this movie called Meet the Blacks. We were at the premiere. So I had Paul on the red carpet. Well, I turned around, and those entities that I just mentioned were not on the red carpet, but it was their premiere. Mr. Price, I felt so bad. Leave the red carpet and get them so they can get on the red carpet. Paul Mooney snatched my arm. He said, you leave them NIG exactly where they are. They had an opportunity to hire you. Whoever's supposed to be representing them didn't show up. Let them stay on the other side of that rope. those two experiences over a 12-year period helped me to understand about being real, keeping it real. And that's how Paul Mooney was. He loved us, but he was no nonsense. And if anybody knows him, he had a heart of gold. He was just no nonsense. And to have been with him for a 12-year period. In fact, I want to make sure Mr. Dayes sends you the tribute that we did for him. Make sure you get that so you could see the caliber of the individuals that showed up for his
funeral. Yeah, he had a big funeral, boy. He was so talented and so well-loved, and he helped so many people with his talent. Richard Pryor, and I mean, he was just a good writer. He never really got his just due with what he really was. You know, he was really a powerful force to be reckoned with.
Let's switch gears
a bit and go back to this event in the DMV that's coming up on April the 3rd. Again, we're going to be spotlighting individuals, but they're going to get snippets. It's going to be broadcast on the screen. It's going to be broadcast live from Bethesda Blues in Bethesda. And you'll be able to see some of these snippets of some of these things on the Grammys televised show. Is that correct?
Correct. That is correct, sir.
So when we're watching, when people are watching the actual Grammys in Las Vegas, they're going to break away and show some of the snippets on the live screen at the Grammys, and then they're going to do any kind of broadcast live from Bethesda, whether it be any kind of shooting from Bethesda that's going to be broadcast live at the Grammys, televised.
That is correct. That is my understanding. As I mentioned earlier, production-wise, I'm not, you know, real savvy on how that's all going to happen, but that is the intent.
Okay. Well, we're looking forward to it. Be There Magazine will be there as the press covering it. We want to make sure that we get some live coverage for that event, and it's going to be broadcast on our social media and our stack of making it happen. It's been a pleasure and an honor to interview you. What's the one question you wish that I would have asked you, and how would you answer it?
If you saw my picture, is she really that old? Because she really looks good. How old is she?
You look good. You are. Most people don't want to tell their age. Women don't want to tell their age. What's the reason behind women don't want to tell it? Give us your thinking on why women don't want to tell their age.
I don't know, but I'm so glad to be here and looking this good. I want them every time I go in the store. Please pardon me.
So what is the luscious age of your life?
I'm sorry?
So what is the wonderful age of your life? How old are you now?
70.
Beautiful. 70 is a great age to be. 70 is a great age to be. Because I'm just turned 73. I'll be 74 in September. So 70s is what I call the new 60s or 50s, whatever, because people aren't looking 70. They're not acting 70. They're not feeling 70. They're feeling like they have something more to offer, even though they have been on this earth for 70 years. Again, it's been a pleasure and an honor to have you on our newsmaker line. We're looking forward to the event on April 3rd.
Yes.
We're going to get the word out because we want to make sure everybody has that information, make sure everybody knows what's going on, and everybody wants to come. They can get this thing going. So give us your closing statement.
Yes.
Give us your closing statement, okay?
I would definitely like to thank you for this privilege, the opportunity. I want to thank Mr. John Dance and Minnie Harris, Mr. Clark. I want to thank my husband for getting up early with me, for hanging with me 40 years. And I want to let everyone know, if you need a real PR, Google us, Wet PR of Beverly Hills, because we'll write it, we'll edit, and then we'll tell it.
I love it. We will write it, we will edit it, and then we'll tell it. The one and only Cassandra Williams, this has been a pleasure and an honor to have you on our Newsmaker Live. My name is Russell Price. I'm the publisher of Be There Magazine. I host the number one radio show in the Washington metropolitan area. It's called Documentary Podcast, Pulling Your Eyelids Open, and we pulled some eyelids open this morning. We'll see you tomorrow morning. It's going to be a big one.
Catch on the head. I don't have no very long. What a lovely day. Supposed to make them happy before they pass away.